great opening. I want to keep that.
You should.
Okay, I'm pressing. You know, I'm recording on my phone now, and like when I was listening to my recording from last time, I have to be careful not to like do a bunch of like with my mouth because it sounds so gross when I'm editing.
Yeah, you do a lot of that.
So do you, to be fair. I think it's the way the phone picks it up.
Probably.
Yeah.
But anyway. Anything spook.
Spooks!
I think you might have some purring in here today because.
That's
boy is fine. He noisy.
Well, then we're gonna. I mean, I can edit out background noise, but that's kind of cute if it's not distracting. So
yeah. So the purring and speaking the jingles are spooky. My cat.
Huh?
The purring and the jingles are spooky. My cat.
Cool. It's for background the music for free. We don't even have to worry about copyright with that.
Exactly.
Oh, I sound like such a valley girl in the last episode. Anyway, that's going up, whether I like it or not. So speaking of cute, okay, my favorite character was the dog.
Okay.
Wasn't she so cute?
Yeah, the dog was pretty adorable. I was high key just focusing on the costumes, so.
How, when that face is there, though? I'm like, I have in my notes... Introduction. What talk about what we thought about the movie overall. And A, I liked it. Dog was cute. That's my first note.
Yeah.
I feel like you have more of a say.
Well, that and I was watching it with my ex-boyfriend, and I forgot how much sex was in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I just put my head directly to costumes are the only thing of importance in here.
Well... Okay, you know what I was... I don't know why I didn't expect all this. Because obviously there's... I mean, the whole thing... Like, there's a whole sex change thing in the movie. So I don't know why I didn't expect any nudity. Mm-hmm. But you know how I take... Like, when I take pictures of the, like, screen while I'm trying to take the photos. So I'm just, like, feeling like a total creep here. Yeah.
Oh, that's awkward.
And Matt was next to me laughing because I'd be like taking, and then there'd be like boobs, like, ah! You know. And he's like, Anne, you have boobs. What's your problem? It's like, I just don't expect to see other people's boobs.
Anne, you freaking lived in theater. Like,
I know.
Your entire life. But like, that's.
See, I'm expecting it then. Then I'm expecting it. I don't like when they sneak up on me.
Okay, that's fair. That's definitely
I mean, and
fair.
To be fair, I mean, yeah, I should have expected it, but it does say rated R, so.
All right, well, hello everyone, and hi. Welcome to Tailcoats.
And Tiaras, that's the name of our podcast.
I hope you enjoyed that couple minutes of jabber, and I hope that Anne keeps it in here, because it's really entertaining.
Yes. Well, now it's not because we just said it was, but I'm keeping it anyway.
Wow. Fuck whoever doesn't like it.
My grandma's listening now, by the way, which is fun.
Oh, hey, Anne's grandma. We'll try not to be ash holes.
Oh, man. It's fine. I don't think she's actually listening to all of them, so no need to censor yourself.
But I love that phrase.
Yes, it's pretty good.
Okay, anyway, so this week we watched The Danish Girl. Okay, Spook, just don't sit on my computer today. And the costume designer for The Danish Girl was Paco Delgado, who I believe also designed the costumes for Les Mis. I watched an interview and he talked about it like he was the designer. I didn't actually remember to look it up.
We're doing Les Mis next anyway.
Hey! God damn it. Okay. He got his second Oscar nomination from this movie. I give no fucks about Oscars, but most people do, I guess.
Well...
Yeah. So, You should all have watched the movie, and if you haven't watched the movie, you should watch it before listening to this podcast, so, like, stop and go fucking watch it.
What did you think of the movie, by the way?
I liked it a lot more when I wasn't watching it for the podcast.
I'm asking about the movie.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a very important statement to make, though. Like,
okay.
I really like the movie in general. The first time that I saw it, I thought that it was amazing. And, I mean, I wasn't out of the closet when I saw it the first time. And I saw it with my mother, so I don't know how I...
Oh, you'd seen this before?
Yeah.
Oh!
My mom and grandma were super excited about it because my grandma's like a huge freaking history buff.
Oh, yes.
So I get to watch a lot of historical based films with her.
I thought you said you'd wanted to see it and that you'd heard of it, but I didn't know you'd actually seen it before.
No, I'd seen it. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite movies for a while. But
nice.
I just didn't remember what it was called.
Okay. Yeah, because I kept saying, hey, we should do The Danish Girl, and you're like, yeah.
That's not what I was thinking The Danish Girl was.
Yeah, I know. Because I knew that if you knew what it was, you'd be like, let's watch this.
Yep.
What did you think of, like, how well, because I read a few things about, like, how some trans people were not happy with how it was represented. What did you think?
I mean, before coming out, I thought it was fine. And then I came out and I'm like, wow, thanks so much for making her seem like a fucking lunatic.
Oh.
So, not so happy with that aspect.
Wait, like a lunatic how?
I don't know. There are moments where they make her seem crazy.
You mean like, but not in the parts where she's like actually talking to doctors and they're calling her crazy, right? That's a totally different.
Yeah, that's a completely different space. And that part I really like because,
yeah,
I mean, that's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, and especially in the 20s.
Yeah, that is exactly how trans people were treated. And that is still somewhat how trans people are treated.
Unfortunately. I read, and the reason I wanted to ask you, and I don't want to go too much into this, because we're here to talk about the costumes, but I feel like it's important. I read something that was saying that they, like, it was, I believe, a trans woman who wrote this. I'm not sure. But she, I wish I could find the source. But basically, and then a lot of the articles were saying the same thing as this, but a lot of trans people were upset that it kind of made her kind of like a stereotype, if that makes sense, of like how women are. And there was also like, they were like upset that they focus so, like, especially the line where I want to be a woman, not a painter, where it's like, but that's like, they focused more on like having it to do with like, you know, body parts rather than what the gender really is, like how she doesn't feel like she's properly a woman until she has those parts, which if that's how she feels, that's valid. But I guess people were upset with what that said about, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I could see why people would be upset. It's not just about body parts. Like, gender is a hell of a lot more than that. That is sex you're talking about.
Yeah, isn't, like, gender, like, the whole point of that not, that it's not the body parts?
Yeah, that is exactly the point of it. Personally, it didn't bug me because I know that this is the 20s and there's not a lot of information about transgender people at the time and gender at all. Really, everything is about sex. So, in her mindset, she probably really does believe that she has to have a sex change in order to be a woman.
That's kind of what I thought too. Sorry.
Yeah. And in the real world, I mean, there are plenty of people who will not accept you until you have a sex change. You are right. expected to have a sex change. And I feel like that's an important thing to talk about and an important thing to hit on in a movie like this, because, like, that's not something that should be required of a transgender person, but it's expected. And I think that I feel like they're showing that very well.
I mean, that's, I mean, and that may just be because I, you know a lot of people in that community that I felt like I understood it that way. Like, to me, like you were saying, it felt more like that's what she felt she had to do for, to, you know, in the time period. But there was, I do remember just reading that some people were upset with that. And then another thing, which they were talking about how, like, that it basically made her look like, you know, her not wanting to be with Gerda anymore, which, or like the fact that, you know, that Einar, is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
Einar and Lily kind of talking about them as different people rather than Einar was Lily the whole time. And talking about how, like, you know, how, like, the relationship between Lily and Gerda didn't last when, and they were saying basically, like, well, no, that doesn't, it just be, like, you are always female. You can still be with that person that would just make you, you know, a female with a female. So I don't know what you thought of that either.
Well, that's part of the crazy that I was talking about, the making her seem crazy, talking about them as two different people when they're the same person. Yeah. Like, I don't tell you that you knew Anne as so-and-so. Like, I just talk about myself as Skye because I'm Skye.
Right. Well, just, could I clarify? Skye's birth name was, it's A-N-N. Was it Anna or was it Anne?
My birth name is Anna. My legal name is Anne. My preferred name is Skye.
Yes. Which, you can see how that can be confusing.
Oh, yeah. I went by Andy for a little while there.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. I forgot. Yeah, you went, well, and I, but I remember I always called you Anna because I was like, I'm Anne, so I guess.
Oh, yeah. And when I started at our theater company, there was another girl named Anna. So it's like, all right, oh, I guess we're going to pronounce it Anna so that none of us have
the same name. And that's how I met you. And I was like, look, so Anna is cool because I'm Anne. And then you kept being like, well, I spell mine right because yours is was A-N-N-E and mine's A-N-N. So can we just admit that A-N-N is right now since it's like I'm the only Anne now?
No.
It was worth a try.
Mine is a family name. They're very mad I'm taking it out. It's fine.
Well, that's their problem. Okay.
I mean, I literally haven't gone by it since fucking sixth grade. So.
You've gone by so many different names anyway. It's not like...
Exactly. This is what happens when you change your child's birth name and you don't tell them. They find out later in life, they get really pissed off, and they're like, what the fuck is the importance of a name? I'm just going to change my name as many times as I want because you did that without my permission.
Oh. Yeah. That explains a lot.
That was my rebellious phase. I changed my name.
I like that that was your rebellious phase. It's kind of like my rebellious phase where, like, when I was mad at the teacher but I didn't want to get in trouble, instead of just writing in neat block letters, I would write in cursive and see if that would make it harder for them to read my handwriting because I was such a rebel.
Oh, you're so cute.
Let's talk about this movie.
Okay, anyway... so Paco Delgado, he worked directly with the actor who plays Lily, whose name I don't know because I'm sorry, guys, but I don't care about actors.
I know it because I knew him as Marius from Les Mis, so Eddie Redmayne.
That's who I thought he was. Okay, thanks.
Or Newt Scamander from Fantastic Beasts, or, yeah.
Okay, stop, you're gonna make me cry. He is the most beautiful voice in the world, and I'm thinking about it right now.
You didn't know it was the same person?
I thought it was, but I wasn't positive, and I wasn't letting myself think about it.
Ah,
so
fair.
If I think about it, it kind of ruins the entire movie, because I think of them as humans.
Yeah. Oh, one more question. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
No, I feel like it's important, though, because of the subject matter. What do you think of a cis man playing a trans woman? Yeah.
I have so much to say there. Like, too much.
Okay.
Not a huge fan of it.
Yeah, didn't think so. But you do like the actor, just not in this role?
Yeah, I love the actor. Yeah. But I would rather the role be played by someone who actually understands it.
Right. Yeah, that's I read a lot about that, too.
Yeah. But you do also have to keep in mind that, like, it really depends on the actor. You'd want to have the right actor, because for some people, it could be really difficult to go back to performing as masculine.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tricky sort of spot, but it definitely would be better with a trans woman playing the role.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, maybe we could give him the benefit of the doubt, assuming that nobody else wanted to. But then again, like, I mean, they're casting a movie. Like, I'm sure tons of people would want to audition for that.
There are plenty of trans women out there who don't have acting roles because they're transgender. So a movie about a transgender woman should have a transgender woman actress. Duh.
Makes sense to me.
Okay. Let's not get me on that rant.
Okay.
Anyway, Delgado worked directly with the actor who plays Lily to find styles and colors that helped hide his masculine figure. And obviously they used lots of contour. Okay. They did a pretty good job at hiding his masculine figure. Okay, I'm turning my phone around, because I'm really annoyed with getting text right now. They did a really good job with hiding his masculine figure. You can't really tell that he is a trans woman, and it's extremely impressive, and I want to know more about how they did that, because that could be helpful information as a trans man.
Yeah.
I have a little bit more about that down the line, but I basically just wrote out what I was going to say, so I'm going to attempt to read it.
Okay.
Delgado did some research on... Oh, I got a bunch of this information from a YouTube video that I accidentally exited, so I'll have Anne give you the link, if I can find it again, on our Instagram.
Got it.
Delgado did some research on the time period and Lily and Gerda in particular, as they are real life people. Yes, this is a true story, guys. Or it's based off a true story. I don't think it's 100% accurate. He looked at a lot of Gerda's artwork as reference to how they looked in real life, because Lily was Gerda's muse, as we see in the movie. That's very realistic. And she did some paintings of herself as well. He also did a lot of research on designers of the time. His inspiration for Gerda was Chanel, because Chanel is his idea of the modern, kind of forward-thinking woman of the time. He did not say forward-thinking, but that's basically what he explained. He did a lot of research on...
You know my feelings about Chanel.
he did a lot of research on Jean-Lou Vom, who designed the style dress we see Lily wear at the beginning with when she comes out, as a woman. Like the first event that they go to as her being a woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
So her literally coming out, but not coming out as...
Precisely. So that style of dress was designed and existent in the late teens, early 20s, specifically by that designer. I don't remember what this style of dress is called. Actually, I don't know what it's called because he has, the designer for the show has a very thick accent and I just couldn't understand what he was saying. Yeah. But he thought about Lily as a woman trapped in a man's body from the beginning of the movie rather than a man who becomes a woman. Which is extremely important. And the reason why he did that is because that's what the director told him to do. So, thank God the director knew something that they were doing. I don't even know who the director is.
But Tom Hooper.
There you go. He knew something that he was doing. I don't feel like it shows in the writing. But you can definitely see it in the costumes, which is very important.
And that's what we care about.
Exactly. So he chose to show her transition to freedom by starting her off in a darker, stiffer, heavier fabrics. And as the movie progresses, he starts to open up the color palette to lighter, more vibrant colors. Lily starts to wear lighter, more flowy fabrics like silk to give her a more feminine touch and make it clear that she has always been a woman. She just wasn't born in the right body. His words, not mine. But also, like, kind of true. I definitely feel like I'm not born in the right body, so I feel like most people would agree with that.
I'm like trying to agree, but I'm like, what do I know?
Continue. Yeah, I feel like most trans people feel like they're not born in the right body. So, I was gonna mention something on that. Oh, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about starting off in men's clothes. So, her men's clothes go from being stiff and dark and heavy to being colorful and flowy and silky. Yes. Yeah. So that's just her progression, getting closer and closer to coming out as a woman. Which is pretty accurate towards reality. I mean, it's different for everyone. I actually have more that will help add on to my point, so I'm gonna save what I was gonna say for later. So, Delgado chose to have Gerda's clothing in the same change in the same ways because she is going through this journey with Lily and changing as well. He described that a little bit differently, but I didn't like how he described it and I decided he was wrong, so I changed it.
What did he say?
He basically said that, like, Lily's becoming more open-minded and she's growing and opening up with her, so they're going through, like, the same change. Not exactly that, but something along those lines. And I was like, you are so wrong. A partner of a transgender person is most likely not going through the same sort of change.
Yeah.
And, like, through the writing, you can tell that she's really struggling with this. And he doesn't show that in the costuming. I wasn't happy about that aspect. Because with her changing with Lily, it makes it seem like she is 100% accepting and ready and wants to continue this relationship with a woman when she thought that she got into it with a man. Which is not what it seems like from the writing. She seems very upset about it.
Did you feel like at the end she had changed her mind?
Oh yeah, at the end. But not in the middle.
Right, in the middle, like, yeah.
That I feel like, well, big ass chunk, she should not have been changing with Lily. She should have been digressing rather than, you know, getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the costumes you're talking about?
In the costumes.
Okay.
Like, we should have been able to see that she was hurt.
Yeah.
That she was going through a struggle. Not that she was growing.
Right. Well, and, like, she, yeah, and I don't think, like, yeah, she may not be going through the same thing. What I think she was going through is maybe questioning her sexuality. Like, what she, who she was interested in. But not the same as, no.
Yeah, exactly. And at some point, they still should have shown her digressing because she digressed. And then she opened up.
Yeah.
But that's a very important point in this. Anyway, I'm attempting to do this as quickly as possible.
I'm sorry, it's my fault.
Yeah, shut up, Anne. I just wrote a comment. They did an okay job with that. When Lily first appears as a woman, Delgado hyper-feminizes her, as that is what he would expect when a trans person would initially come out as a woman. It's fairly accurate, just in general. Like, I don't know, when I came out, I was like, ah, yes, I have to have very short hair and wear baggy t-shirts. Okay, my first attempt at coming out. It was like, I have to have very short hair and baggy t-shirts and, like, an ugly-ass baseball cap.
And the wear fact that you call it ugly.
It was ugly.
And was it as ugly as that cardigan?
Cardigan. Oh, my God.
Sorry. No, that's not
I think
not
it was worse, actually.
What? Okay. No. You showed me the... Okay, I cracked up when you showed me the picture of the, like, pink cardigans that looked like that. And you were, yes, like, Femme Bundy.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Funny. That made me so happy. I should put that on Instagram.
I was having such a shitty day. And then I saw that cardigan. And I was like, oh, my God. Anne's gonna love this.
Yes.
And I was so happy. I almost started to cry. Yeah. Anyway, I dressed horribly. And
where was I during this? Was this when you were in Oregon?
This is in high school.
Oh, huh? Really?
Yeah. Wanna say
I mean, to be fair, we were only ever in costumes when we were together most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. It was only for a week.
Oh, okay.
I did it as a performance art project. That's what I told everyone. Or more, that's what I told my mother so I could get away with doing it. Yeah, it's great. We had a nice fight about it for like a month before she let me actually do it.
She's still listening to this podcast?
You know, she says she's going to, but she hasn't started.
Okay, well.
Love you, Mom. Whenever the fuck you start listening.
Well, we'll know when she does.
Yeah. She's not going to be happy with me. She's going to text me all mad. Be like, what the hell, Sky? And be like,
sorry,
you got my
Sky's
name
mom.
Right.
We love you, Sky's mom.
I'm just kidding. I love my mother. She's special, but I love her.
That's great.
So, hyperfeminization. And then she gets more comfortable with herself. When she gets more comfortable with herself, I can speak, her femininity kind of calms down. And she looks more like your average woman. I think this is most obvious with the makeup, because when she first comes out, her makeup is intense and, like, obviously hyper-feminized and very obvious. But at the end, she doesn't even look like she's wearing any makeup. Which, also, she just came out of surgery, but...
I think she's wearing a lot of pale foundation.
She is, yes. But, like, you know, when she goes into the doctor's office, it's very neutral. It's not in your face anymore. We also see her in a woman's pantsuit, which definitely shows her comfortability, because she's wearing fucking pants. Like, obvi. I mean, I still wear dresses sometimes. That shows how comfortable I am.
Yes.
They're so cozy.
Yeah.
I think everyone should wear dresses.
I agree.
Yeah.
But actually, I think everyone should wear whatever they want, but also dresses are amazing.
That's true. The pantsuit, however, is hella ugly. And I just want to go take it off and give her something better to wear. Like, at least a nicer color. My fucking God, is it awful.
Is this the tan one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so bad. It doesn't sit on her right. Like, it just bunches up and makes her look really awkward and clumpy and, oh, no.
I thought she looked fairly good, and I'm just not a fan of pantsuits, so.
You know, she looked good in it for the first 5 seconds, and then as she kept walking, you could see the waistline rising up. And that ruined it.
Ah.
I really don't think it should have been that color. That's not her color. And she would not have chosen to wear it. Because she knows how she looks. Like, she knows when she looks good. Anyway. That's all my stuff for the actual designer. I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the white and pink slip that we see at the very beginning. So, first of all, the slip is just like this gorgeous, gorgeous piece of artwork. I love the freaking little bit of lace around the waist, and I really want to know your ideas of how accurate that is, and I want to make one. but I was looking at how it fit the both actors, and at first I thought that there were likely two of them because the dress is bigger on Lily and Gerda is smaller than Lily is. But then the second time we see, I believe it was Lily in this slip, it looks more her size. So that kind of threw me off. I'm wondering if there are, well, it's a movie, so there are likely multiple of them. But I'm wondering if they're in a lot of different sizes and, like, if they tailored them along the way, if maybe the actor had lost or gained weight at some time.
Do you think it could have been, like, the second time she was more comfortable in it? Like, you think it could have been an intentional choice?
Maybe.
Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. But I don't know. But
it also really shouldn't just magically fit her better. That's not how
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah. So that threw me for a loop, which is why I wanted to mention it. I don't know. You guys should watch it and let me know what you think about the dress, the little white and pink slip, if you think that there's multiple of them or just one size. I was also going to point out that when they go to the, like, ball or whatever, the little painting gallery thingy that they go to where people are dancing, so I'm calling it a ball.
I like that.
Lily and Gerda kind of match. Their dress is, Lily's dress is clearly from Gerda's wardrobe, but the beadwork on the shawl looks more like Lily than Gerda. And I really liked that. That's also part of, like, the hyper-feminizing, is that not only is she in this gorgeous gown, but she's got just an intense amount of beadwork.
Which ball was this? The first one?
And it's super sparkly. Yeah, it's the first one. When they first take her out as a woman.
Okay, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
Oh, damn it. I was gonna look up ballet dresses of the time because I really liked that ballet dress.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So pretty.
Oh, well. That's not important.
Okay. You good?
I am good. Go. You got 20 minutes.
Okay. Perfect. So, my sources are basically the same as last week, plus some more from VintageDancer.com. So, 1920s lingerie history, slips, step-ins, robes, nightgowns, and bedcaps. And they didn't include the Oxford comma in that title, which bugged me, so I added it in myself for my notes. Same with the other article, 1920s men's underwear, pajamas, robes, and socks history, also from VintageDancer.com. And, of course, the article, The Danish Girl Gender Bends, by Kendra Van Cleve from Frockflicks. So, I want to talk about the late second half of the 20s for women's clothes, because that is when this takes place, because in the very beginning it says 1926. So the waist is almost hits the hips, and then started being accentuated again at the end of the century. Dresses were more fitted, barely covering the knees, so higher. Decorations are more geometrical decoration, like lighter or brighter colors, and coats were more like oval shaped, and were like this wrap style, and fur was a big deal. So you can see that in especially like Gerda's coats. There's a lot of fur, and there's one where she's wearing that orangish reddish sequined dress, and you can see the coat is wrapped around her, so that would be a good example of that. Hats. So in the mid-20s, they still were wide with brim facing downward, but they turned up toward the face almost like bonnets, which was kind of weird. I don't see a lot of examples of that. And then, of course, later 20s, the cloche hats, which are the ones that look like bells, because cloche means bell in French. So the really tight, small hats that I love and are so cute. Shoes were pretty much the same as before. No stilettos, and it was nice not to see stilettos in this, for the most part. Yeah, especially that you got a good look at the shoes from the ballet scene. And again, in the middle, you can see it's thinner. And there's even some shoes when they're doing that, like, sort of, it's not really a montage, but you can see Lily's, you know, when they're showing all the different shoes.
No, but continue.
Okay. Well, on the right, there are some that look very, very Edwardian / early 20s, and that makes me very happy. Yep. So that's what I got on that. 1920s makeup, basically same thing as that I talked about last time, except for the lips would now be more of a raspberry and medium red in the later 20s. And I did a lot of research on underclothes, as you had asked. So I'm putting in quotations corsets because I'm not sure they would call it that. And then this is a quote from the article. The ideal corset was not designed to give a woman more curves, but to flatten the front and backside. Lacing and elastic panels helped shape the figure, and boning kept the torso flat. So you don't actually see a lot of these in this movie, and I think that's, I think what's interesting about this movie taking place in the 20s is that the, like, women wanted a sort of masculine figure without, you know, a lot of curves or anything. So I think in that case, it probably helped Lily pass a little more easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was interesting, just the time period and going with that. And so they had the bra or brassiere, which, again, quoting, the function of the brassiere throughout most of the decade was to flatten, not enhance, the breasts. But flattening garments were usually made from cotton and did not have cups and were worn tight against the body. And you can see Gerda in a sort of, I don't know if I would actually call it a brassiere. It's more of a camisole, but you can see it does have a square neckline, which is what they liked. Same with dress slips, which is, I think, that thing you were talking about, the one that has that ties at the waist.
Yeah.
So, again, quoting, they had low opera necklines, meaning square with a pretty ribbon, self fabric or lace straps. The slippery material was good for keeping the dress from clinging to the body, but bad for the straps staying in place, which you can see, again, in that slip. And I didn't want to talk too much about pajamas because what they're wearing, like, when you're, you see them going to bed, you don't, it looks almost like the slips, and I didn't really get a good look at them, but just to let you know, quoting, nightgowns were long ankle-length pullover gowns with pretty embroidery and square lace necklines. Winter versions could be made of flannel in a multitude of colorful plaids and patterns. And you can actually see the nightgown that they're wearing in the picture that I took. It actually seems more like a V-neck, so I don't know about that. But for the most part, yes, pretty good. Robes and dressing gowns. Now, there were so many robes in this movie, and that was great because robes were the thing. They would wear them, like, they'd have, like, these, like, special robes for entertaining guests, and then they'd have ones for just lounging around. So, like, they had lounging robes, but there were, like, different types of lounging robes. So, like, the ones that were just for literally being lazy and wearing around the house. It says, quoting, they came in similar styles for both men and women. They had large shawl collars, big patch pockets, wide cuffs, and self-fabric sashes. Lighter satin material for summer with a cord tie or heavy blanket cloth in winter with self-fabric tie. Corduroy, velvet, and cotton were other winter fabrics. And so they were worn over dresses or over pajamas. They could be worn like on trains. And then the one for entertaining guests was called the negligee or hostess coat because they were fancier and more for showing off. And I love the kimono that Gerda has the sort of peach lining.
Yes.
It's the long sleeves that like was gorgeous. And you can see she has the big pocket in the blue one. And you know, she wears a lot of robes, and as does Lily. There's one that she's wearing, I think the first time when she's trying to say like, I can't bring your husband back, basically is what she's saying. But she's wearing another, you know, really nice, gorgeous robe. And then dressing gowns were basically like robes, but they were worn more for like when you were putting your makeup on, and so the like powder wouldn't get all over your dress and when brushing your hair. And so they were little, what it says is it says they were half length dressing sacks called combing sacks. They were a luxury item women wore while sitting at their vanity. So that's the quote from that. And then I wanted to briefly talk about men's boxers, because you can see that Eddie Redmayne is wearing boxers as Lily when she still is going as Einar. Did I say that right?
Correct.
Okay. So you can see those white boxers, and boxers didn't really come into like the really late 1920s for the most part. Men wore kind of like what they would wear before this, and it would they'd have these like one-piece suits and just different types of things, but boxers were a fairly new thing. So I just thought it was interesting that we saw that, because what I'm going to mention now is that a lot of the beginning of the movie, even though it says written right there 1926, the beginning of the movie is very early 1910s, or sorry, late 1910s. So, yeah, you know how I feel about those things. And I'm going to quote FrockFlix on this. Only about 15% of the costumes looked like they were actually in the late 1920s. While Lily often looks like she stepped out of the early 1920s, Gerda looks like she's in 1918 and 1919. And that's kind of like the whole beginning of the movie. And I get that they were trying to show that they were a little more stuffy in the beginning, but you know, like when they're in Denmark before they go to Paris, they have like an older sort of Edwardian-ish inspiration, but then don't say it starts in 1926, especially because the true story, I think when they got married it was like 1906, so they very well could have said it took place earlier. I don't know why they decided to have it start in 1926 and then just have a bunch of 1910s clothes in the beginning, which are gorgeous. I love them. So pretty. I especially love Gerda's blue gown, but that looks like it could almost be on the Titanic, like a little later, but still, And I'm like, what's going on here? And also her hair is long. And by 1926, most women would have cut their hair. But anyway.
I'm pretty sure her hair being long is just a character choice.
Maybe, yeah.
Based on the way he talked about her, I'm pretty sure it's a character choice.
But I know, like, she's like an artist. She's like kind of more, you know, in the whole beginning, they're both kind of more liberal in that way. So I don't know. I feel like she would have cut her hair, but.
I feel like they're more of, like, independent thinking women, and they don't need to cut their hair and be in style. They just want to be themselves and express themselves the way that they are.
I mean, okay. Yeah, that works too. But she does cut her hair later, so. And yeah, so another thing Frogflix says is, quote, a much more appropriately dressed timeline-wise character in the couples is the couple's friend, dancer Ula. And she has very colorful, theatrical wardrobe that Delgado based on the Orientalist design of Paul Poiret, who's a big deal designer. And yeah, like I was saying, back in the second half of the movie, when they're in Paris, they wear like probably a lot like more accurate for late 1920s style. Makeup did not look 1920s.
Just a comment on that real quick. I think part of that is because the idea is that once they've moved, they start to actually buy new clothes and change their style. And before that, it's just things that they've already had.
Okay. But, like, everybody else is dressed in 1910s stuff, too.
Yeah. But, like, that's the difference there for those two characters.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. 1910s is pretty far from 1926. Like, 1916 and 1926, that's a whole decade to get new clothes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe they like thrift stores.
Sure. I just think that I just don't say 1926, people! Okay. Makeup did not look very 20s to me. Like, the lips did not have the 1920s look at all. I mean, it was nice makeup. It looked good, but it didn't ring 1920s at all to me. Yeah, and I already talked about, like, especially at the first ball, if you will, a lot of the dresses, like, even though they were a little, like, later, especially Gerda's looked more like 1918, 1919, which was the one where they're talking about how her ankles are showing and corrupting and stuff. That definitely looks 1918. And then Lily's dress actually looks more early 1920s, so closer, but not quite. And then there are just some people in there that just, again, like, look like they could be on the Titanic, so I don't know. Which, I don't mind that, but it's not accurate. Another early 1920s looking dress is the blue dress that Lily wears when she's going to see whatever that guy's name is, the one that first tried to kiss her.
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about?
I don't care. I decided he doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. But you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So when she first goes to see him and she's wearing that very pretty blue dress, I'd say that's also like early 1920s. And then the guy that keeps telling Gerda that he doesn't want her paintings until finally she shows him like paintings of a naked lady, and suddenly he's like, oh yes, let's have this. Like, did you see all the art around him? He just wanted naked lady stuff. I'm sorry, perv. But he's dressed kind of almost Victorian, I think. Like, not Victorian, but you got the waistcoat, you got there's a lot of old-ish looking stuff. And then Gerda's hair is, you know, pinned in back because it's longer. So now, more appropriate 1920 styles in Paris. So you can even see, like, before Lily starts dressing like Lily, as Inar, she is wearing a tie that has like this nice art deco pattern, which looks more modern. And you can see Gerda in lots of cloche hats, and she's got like this pretty black jacket that has this goldish design on it, which I think is nice. And then there's another blue outfit that has like some gold on it. Very nice, very 20s. And the mustard, like sort of shawl that Lily wears, it's all flowy, and that is like real good for 1926, I think. And yeah, you can see, like you were saying, she wears a lot of flowy dresses. You can see that blue and brown dress, super flowy, love it. And then Gerda, yeah, you can see the waistline is dropping too. She wears this black dress at one point in Paris, and her hair is shorter, and she has the silver front, and that reads very late 20s to me. As well as that orange patterned dress, which I don't really like, but it works for the time. And actually the second sort of pantsuit that Lily wears, the second one with like the collar that flares out, I think that one suits her a lot better. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's when they're first meeting with the good doctor.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looks very classy. Oh, and the green.
I just added an M at the end for some reason.
Sorry?
I said her, and then I added an M at the end for some reason. Herm.
I don't know.
I feel
that's
like
a question mark?
That's a very important thing to state, because it sounds like I just misgendered her.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think your listeners know that you would not intentionally misgender someone.
That's very, very fair.
I hope so, at least.
Continue.
The green velvet dress. When she first goes into like get the surgery, and she's like wearing that bright red wig, and oh, did it bother you that she didn't have a wig cap on under that?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care how short your hair is in real life. What, it's got a grip to something.
I have to wear a wig cap.
Yeah, but I guess that would have ruined the mood to like take it off, and then there's this bald cap on like that. I see why they didn't have it, but anyway. Yes, the green velvet dress with, like, the floral, like, part gathering up. Oh, it's so pretty. I love it. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, Anne.
The fabulous dress. Yeah, and then you can see just a lot more. There's even a black dress with, like, red flowers on it with that scarf. And this is when she's grown her hair out. And it's, like, a darker, it's not, like, as red. And I don't remember what scene it is. I think it's when she's at back in Denmark. And it's a very nice, flowy, late 20s gown. So yeah, that's what I have. What were your favorites?
My favorite costume was the one that Gerda wears the first time that she meets up with the friend of Einar's
Hans? Lily's.
Yeah, him. It's the, like, blue one with the gold beading.
Yes,
that's my favorite.
It has, like, that collar and, like, mm-hmm. almost like a necklace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like the gold beading, like, really. That's it.
It's so good. I love it, too. So I have, my actual favorite was one you're probably not going to know even what I'm talking about, but it's a, like, pink one that someone in the background is wearing, and it looks like it came off the Titanic, so that's why I like it, and it's really pretty. I can post it on Instagram because I don't, it's got it's like pink, and it's got these side sort of things, ruffles, but not lace ruffles. I'm bad at this.
You should post a picture.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. And also the newspaper hats, because what?
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
I was like, what is happening here? I even Googled, my Google search was like, did people in Denmark in the 1920s wear hats made of newspaper? And like, it just shows up history of paper hats and stuff like that. I'm like, what, where did this come from? So, I don't know. If you guys know, please tell us. I'd really like to know what's up with these newspaper hats, because that's a bold choice to not have any source, I'm saying. Like,
yep.
Like, is it to show that they're poor? They didn't have money to have hats, but then, like, what? Like, I feel like there's gotta, like, the costumer must have had some source material that made her think that.
That made accurate. Him think it was a good idea.
Oh, is it the?
It's a guy.
Oh, sorry.
The Gato is a guy with a very thick accent.
Ah, yes, fair. Yeah, I'm just like, if you're gonna make that bold choice to have hats made of newspaper, you must have had some source, unless you were just drunk. Which I guess is a possibility.
Hey, are we done? Because I gotta go.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you for listening.
Love you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
This podcast, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. To stay up to date on new episodes, don't forget to subscribe. For more content, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Tailcoats and Tiaras. You can tune in every other Tuesday for new episodes. See you next time!